I extend warm greeting to each and every one of you. I'm so happy that you have come to worship with all of us together in this beautiful sanctuary. And I pray that we will experience God in many unique ways. God speaks to us through the Word of God. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit to our hearts. God can touch us in the areas where we need His touch. God can heal us. God can do anything. And I pray that we will all experience God in many unique ways and be touched by God today. A man went into the doctor's office for his annual checkup, and the doctor asked whether he had experienced any abnormalities over the past 12 months. "Not really," said the man, "although I think my suit must have shrunk over the last year because it didn't fit when I went to put it on for a wedding 3 weeks ago." The doctor said, "Suits don't shrink just hanging in a wardrobe. You probably put on a few pounds." "That's just it, doctor. I know I haven't gained a single pound since the last time I wore it." "Well then," said the doctor, "you must have a case of furniture disease." "What in the world is furniture disease?" "That's when your chest starts sliding down into your drawers." If you feel like you have a furniture disease, try wearing a robe like I do. People can never tell if I have a furniture disease when I am in my robe. I've also enjoyed other benefits of wearing robe. I don't have to stress as much about what to wear on Sunday mornings. An even greater advantage is that a robe lasts for decades, so I don't have to spend money replacing it. I possess the only clergy robe given to me by a parishioner in Boston. The red robe you see me wearing on Pentecost is my graduation gown from Boston University, which was gifted to me by an alumnus of BU. I'm also glad that none of you are tired of seeing me in the same robe every Sunday. Speaking of clothes, just picture those football players playing wildly without any uniform. It'll be really wild. We always ask, what should I wear? Finding the right clothes and ensuring physical comfort go hand in hand. These elements enhance our confidence in our appearance. Clothing plays a vital role in our lives. And our health is equally essential. Good health is synonymous with a high quality of life. People consistently worry about fundamental aspects of sustenance, such as clothing and health. Jesus understood this well and remarked that overcoming worries about them is not particularly difficult. So let's explore Jesus' teachings on worrying. We didn't read it this morning, but what follows the Word of God this morning is Jesus' teaching on worries, with which we are familiar. Jesus said, "Do not worry," saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Note that caring about what to eat, drink, and wear was not just for the ancient people. Various research shows that people today have the same concern. According to a survey published in USA Today in February 2000, some of the things that people worry about are as follows. Not being able to pay medical bills, 36%. Social Security running out, 35%. Caring for elderly parents, 31%. Having no inheritance to pass on, 22%. And a stock market crash, 20%. Another survey indicates that the top 3 out of 10 common worries are money and finances, health, and job and career. A study shows that the most pressing concern among countries worldwide include the coronavirus, unemployment, poverty, and financial and political corruption. Clearly, people of all nations commonly worry about their health and finances. Jesus' teaching about what people worry about remain unchanged and will never change. Jesus speaks the timeless truth that is applicable to people of every age. Let us revisit Jesus' main teaching on worrying in the light of 3 short teachings on storing treasures, having sound eyes, and serving 2 masters we just read. Although these teachings are usually understood separately from the main teaching on worrying, they can be seen as one integral teaching because they are written one after the other. Do you know the chapters and verses were added to help readers find content and passages? Stephen Langton, the Archbishop of Canterbury in the early 13th century, is believed to have created the chapter system. Robert Stephanus, a French printer in the mid-16th century, created the verse system. And now modern Bibles added titles to help readers understand, thereby the texts are divided according to particular topics, but it wasn't like that long before. So combining those 4 teachings, treasures in heaven, healthy eyes, serving money and God, and worrying, help us delve deeper into Jesus' message. Why do people accumulate treasures on earth? Why do they worship money? Why are they anxious about food, meals, and clothing? Because their spiritual eyes are not healthy and they remain darkness. They fail to see how well God feeds the bird of the air and how beautifully God clothes the grass of the field. Those who are blinded to the truth that God is the sustainer strive to maintain their livelihood. You know a parable of the great banquet? It can be viewed from the perspective of the sustainer and how people react to the sustainer. Jesus said, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' All of them were busy taking care of their livelihood and making excuses for the invitation when the host prepared everything for them to enjoy the banquet. Their eyes were blinded to the free celebration, the sustaining grace that the host prepared. God is our sustainer and has everything stored in his heavenly warehouse to meet our need. However, we do not partake in the feast because we mistakenly consider ourselves as sustainers. No matter how hard we try, we can never store up enough, and we continue to live in the darkness of insufficiency. As a result, our blindness to the true sustainer is the main cause of our worries. How can we overcome our blindness that leads to worry? Jesus offers solutions so simple that anyone, anywhere can utilize them. When we fret about anything, we simply need to observe the birds in the air. They are found everywhere. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them well. And remember, we are more valuable than they are. If this doesn't help, then pay attention to the grass in the field. It is a well-established fact that looking at green is beneficial for our eyes. It reduces eye strain and alleviates stress. Observe the greenery and recognize how beautifully God adorned nature. The birds and the grass clearly remind us that God is the sustainer. Recognizing God as our sustainer is something we need to practice every day. Every day. Last Sunday, we learned about a secret of the number 490, if you still remember them. They relate to the identity of Jesus as the bread of life, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, asking God to give us our daily bread. This part of the Lord's Prayer confesses that Jesus is the sustainer, and we need to recognize him every day. Our acknowledgement of God as the sustainer sets us apart from pagans who constantly worry about sustenance. Examine our prayer life. What do we pray for? Much of our pleading with God revolves around sustenance. Having faith in God as our sustainer empowers us in our prayer life. Dallas Theological Seminary is a renowned evangelical seminary in Dallas, Texas, founded by Louis Sperry Chafer and W.H. Griffiths Thomas in 1924. Shortly after Dallas Seminary was founded, it came to the point of bankruptcy. All the creditors were going to foreclose at noon on a particular day. That morning, the founders of the school and professors met in the president's office to pray that God would provide. In their prayer meeting was Harry Ironside. When it was his turn to pray, he prayed in his charismatically refreshing manner. "Lord, you know that the cattle on the thousand hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us the money." While they were praying, a tall Texan came into the business office and said, I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through, and it won't work. And I feel that God is compelling me to give this money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check. A secretary took the check, and knowing something of the financial seriousness of the hour, went to the door of the prayer meeting and timidly tapped. When she finally got a response, Dr. Louis Cheffer took the check out of her hand, and it was for the exact amount of the debt. When he looked at the signature, he recognized the name of the cattle rancher. Turning to Dr. Ironside, he said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Consider the ineffectiveness caused by blindness to God's sustaining grace. We may spend all our effort and time to feed and clothe ourselves, and we still find our endeavor insufficient. The turning point occurs when we are firmly grounded in God as our sustainer. We no longer need to worry about or strive for our sustenance and can move on to the next step, focusing our time and energy on seeking His kingdom and righteousness. Our national mind may not comprehend this mystery of faith, but when we seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first, every care is taken care of every time. Amen? And in conclusion, I'd like to just share very quickly that as I have shared that we've been looking into the leasing opportunity for the education building, and I think we are getting very close. And I've been constantly worrying about the church's finances, and that's why I have worked and involved in repairs and capital improvement, all those projects by myself. And God is going to provide us income over like $5,500 a month. Isn't that amazing? So when we trust in God and continue to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, the rest is taken care of. And I praise God for that. And I thank you for your continuing to pray for that opportunity. Amen.